that part of my masculinity has been shut off, I guess. I don't know what that is.
Guns, drugs. You're so. Like, I love Pixar.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, presented by CinemaSins.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, a weekly look at everything going on inside the world of CinemaSins. I'm Aaron Dicer, and I'm joined, as always, by Danae Hughes.
I will not be talking about a Jonathan puppet today.
Jonathan is not with us, but we will do our best. We write for CinemaSins and TV Sins and do various other things inside the CinemaSins universe as well. I feel like I have to come up with a different phrase.
For what?
For not with us.
Like, oh. Not, it's such a... Yeah, that's a tricky one. Maybe he's not here right now.
Jonathan has left us. No, Jonathan went on a cheer competition.
Yes,
journey.
You guys didn't know, but he's actually a cheerleader.
That's right. If you've watched Netflix Cheer,
you know exactly.
He stars in that.
Big buff dude that wears like those little wristbands.
Right. Yeah.
And holds the ladies aloft.
Yes.
That's Jonathan.
That is Jonathan.
It's not
so
not
it'll just
Jonathan.
Be Danae and I today. And we're excited to take you through probably a little bit of a shorter version when it's just the two of us, but take you through the videos and such from the week. How are you doing, Danae?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Yeah.
Oscar weekend came and went.
Yeah. So I watched the Spaskers.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it was interesting because I wasn't actually watching the Oscars. I was just watching you guys watch the Oscars.
If you don't know, the Spaskers are the Sif Pop Oscars, which is a podcast I do on pop culture called Sif Pop. And we get all the writers together and have a good time doing a live stream.
You have like a community of people that write on sifpop.com. Mm-hmm. And so it was, you had this whole weekend leading up to the Oscars where you had watch parties all day of watching all of the movies.
Yeah.
And so
that was intense.
It was kind of fun to see all of the people that I've interacted with on social media, and I planned to be there, but I got really, really sick, so I couldn't come. So that was a bummer, but it was fun to watch you guys.
Yeah. We had a good time. It would be interesting to see just the live stream and not the actual show.
Yeah.
Like, were you confused?
Oh, yeah.
Because we weren't explaining everything on the show.
No, it took me a minute to figure out that when everybody went silent, it was because you were actually watching the show. And I was like, oh, this is a watch-along experience. Duh. But I was...
Do something, guys.
I was laying in bed so ill. And so I was just watching on my phone. And I didn't have an ability to, like, watch the Oscars anywhere else. And so I was just chatting in the chat room with
everybody. It was fun.
You had like 60-some people that were watching you guys when I was in the room.
We had 672 show up at one point or another.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. And in our max, our peak concurrent viewers were 75. So, yeah, it was a well-attended show. We had a good time. I bring it up because I know you might want to hear our thoughts on the Oscars, but me talking to Danae about the Oscars...
Probably boring.
Probably not fun for anyone.
No. It'll be kind of hollow.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So maybe we wait for Jonathan to get back and maybe we share a few thoughts on the Oscars.
Sure, sure.
It might end up somewhere. But we'll go into it. We'll do our behind the sins.
Now we're just going to jump right into it.
Because that's why we're here.
Let's do it.
Let's do this inside scoop.
What's he building in there?
I've got a secret. I've got a secret.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
This is a true story.
Take a look at the videos from the week, the process of sending them, how we felt about them in general. Let's start with TV Sins Breaking Bad, shall we?
Mm.
And the bags in the river.
My first experience with Breaking Bad.
Yeah. See, this is one of those interesting things. When we assign TV Sins, Danae, we like to pay attention to your sensibilities. Your sensitivities. We've never assigned you Walking Dead.
Thank you.
For instance.
Mm-hmm. Although I might not be as triggered. Like, there are certain episodes that are, I don't know, less.
Possibly.
But you never really know.
We're just trying to avoid it, you know, when we can.
Yeah, you've done a really nice job. Even in movies, sometimes you'll see, like, I'm assigned to one that might trigger me, and so then we'll, like, trade or something.
Right. Yeah,
we'll
talk
to the guys and figure out how to scooch that around.
Yeah. So it was interesting when we've got Walking Dead scripts and Breaking Bad scripts, and I'm like, well, Breaking Bad can go there, but, you know, usually Breaking Bad's okay. She'll be fine with that. And then I assign you the...
The Bags in the River.
Yeah, you messaged me and you're like, hey, just want to let you know, this show starts off with cleaning up people soup. I was like, what? And you're like, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. It's just, you know, it's really gross. It's just, it's an acid bath gone wrong. And they're cleaning up human remains. There's definitely bones involved. And I'm like, what are you doing?
It just happens to be that one.
But I'm glad you did warn me about it, because then I could kind of like do the thing in my head where I made it jam or something, which we kind of, you know, joke about even in the script.
Yeah.
But yeah, you've done a nice job of avoiding this sort of visual trauma. Although there was like in Sons of Anarchy, the very beginning, they're like investigating the... what was it? The fire that was started at that warehouse.
Yeah.
And then they open up that like... below ground bunker, and it's like the charred remains of these two people that died. So like, I'm gonna see some stuff, and it's not like I can't ever. I mean, I'm not the most innocent person, but like,
I don't
know.
You'll get a little bit more kind of used to it.
You just don't want to do Walking Dead anymore.
No, I don't. But I was just asking.
You know what it is like, I have such a vivid let me explain. I have such a vivid imagination that when I see that stuff, it like literally seeps into my consciousness. And then I have the most jacked up dreams. I have some real weird stuff that kind of happens up in my imagination. So I just know if I can avoid certain scenarios, I just sleep better.
Yeah.
At night. I just prefer rainbows and unicorns and happiness.
Totally.
And
get it.
And Steven Universe and, right, you know, all the fun, like the Good Place. I prefer that to be up in my brain rather than the more serious stuff, I guess.
Speaking of jam, a new message in the comments says, looks like I picked the wrong video to watch while eating my jam sandwich.
Oh, yeah. That was... somebody else was eating a sandwich in the comments. They were talking about... Like, how funny.
So what did you think? This is your only experience with Breaking Bad. It is the third episode of the series, so we're still really early on.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts watching this episode? Do you get why people love it? Are you interested at all? Like, I'm really curious.
Well, so that's good. Great question. I think that after watching this episode, I understood why the fans wanted us to go to this one next, as just sort of like a moment in the story that was really compelling.
Yeah.
I had to do some research to catch me up to this particular moment in Walt's, you know, story, because I obviously missed, I didn't go back and watch the beginning of the show, which again, I kind of like to do because it drops the narrator sort of into a moment without a lot of context. And that can sometimes work for finding sins and finding things that the narrator wouldn't necessarily like,
sure,
lean into, yeah, if they've seen it all.
Yep.
We're going to talk about The Good Place next, and I had seen everything. So going back and sending that one, it just, the narration brain's a totally different space for me, you know,
right,
as a writer. So, but I still kind of was confused a little bit about the general story. So I didn't have a bad time watching it, but I've already referenced, it felt a little Sons of Anarchy to me, you know, where it's like a gritty show that's sort of about trying to find humanity in the underbelly of, like, you know, drugs and, you know, quote unquote bad guy stuff.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Here's the difference. And you wouldn't know this just from watching,
right,
the episode that you have. Okay. It's not that at all. This show very specifically was always intended to be what happens when somebody who is a good person breaks bad, actually becomes a bad person. So the main character,
Walt,
the entire series is going from stand-up guy who teaches high school and, you know, gets cancer, trying to provide for his family, and then because of his desperate situation, turns to a life of crime, and then finds that he's actually good at it, and finds that he loves it, and actually turns into a bad guy and suffers the consequences thereof.
Right.
It's not about finding, like, goodness in the underbelly. It's
about... It's like watching the deterioration of a character.
Yeah, which, what a strange thing to make the goal of your TV show, but it's a fascinating character study.
And I think the reason that this episode is one that I understand people would want us to see is because this is... he murders somebody.
Yeah.
And it's this, you can clearly see him struggling with that decision and what it's going to mean. And he even tries to, you know, find a friend somehow in this moment. And so watching this one was interesting for me. There were some things that were really easy to sin and some things that was like, oh, this is harder to do. And the harder part is that character development where the show will like let Walt and
Jesse.
No, Domingo in this case.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Really kind of sit in a moment and talk back and forth and have like a long conversation that's just going to result in a murder here in a minute. But like you still don't know as you're watching it what's going to happen. And I feel like that's another big push of the show is you just don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what Walt's going to do. You don't know where his character is going to go. And sort of,
and it loves character study. Like it will linger with, like you said, with characters for minutes on end just having deep conversations.
Which I think I prefer over Sons of Anarchy because I didn't like that one. Again, I'm going to compare the two, but I didn't like that one because it's just a lot. It was a lot of data. Like, SOA was like, you know, the names of all of the gang people and the names of all the places that they are and all these pre-existing like structures. Like the very first episode drops you into the middle where you're supposed to know everything and then, which can be fun sometimes. But like here in BOA or Breaking Bad, rather, it's like it's different. You know, it's really kind of sitting in a moment. You're watching this. And what's the actor's name who plays Walt? Do you know?
Bryan Cranston.
He's
incredible.
He's fantastic to watch.
Did you ever watch Malcolm in the Middle?
No.
Oh, see, he was the dad in a sitcom.
Oh, fun.
Which is, I mean, nobody knew he had this in him.
Right.
And then he just does this.
Yeah. You know? So for those reasons, I enjoyed watching it, but I don't know that I would kind of come back to it. I don't know. Like life is so serious already.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to give my entertainment brain something to think about that's like really serious, it's Dungeons and Dragons, which isn't that serious. But you like, you know, you get attached to characters. You don't know if they're going to die or not. And they're making weird decisions. And that's pretty much as serious as I want to get with my entertainment. So but I did think that it was really interesting to watch. And I can see why people like it a lot. So
we wrote this together.
I
don't even know if I said that. A Dicer Hughes script. I really liked that you got Jeremy to say blah rah
with the jump scare.
Yes.
That, blah, rah. Rah, rah. Well, that was a hard moment to watch. And so as somebody who doesn't like to feel emotions, also the narrator doesn't seem to like emotion either. So that could be kind of fun to do, is to sort of do a jump scare.
I loved in the comments that somebody says, I live in Albuquerque and I was in the classroom you're describing and your complaints are completely valid.
Yeah.
What was some of your favorite stuff?
There was a lot of fun things for me to sit in this one. I really liked the one bloody chip that was left untouched.
Yes.
Like even the actor didn't want to touch it after it dripped down into the like the spooky blood.
When you said the bloody chip, I remember the plate breaking and how they show it looking two different ways broken.
Mm-hmm.
And just like if you ever wonder about like comments and how they are all over the board and sometimes they're accurate and sometimes they're not. Looking at two plates broken completely different, there were still several comments like, oh, that's because he took a piece to kill him with later. Like, yes, we know that's in the plot, but look at the actual plates on the screen.
Yeah,
there are like four extra pieces.
The first time
it has nothing to do with the piece being missing.
The first time it breaks, there's fewer pieces. And then when you cut back to it, there's more pieces.
Yes.
You know, and we get that there's a piece missing, guys.
Yes,
we're talking about those pieces that you can see. Also, it was really difficult to understand how in the world he could have reached those pieces. Anyways,
yeah,
I'm glad that you zoomed in on that. I also like, Aaron, that you zoomed in on the pro-con list of like why to murder someone. I thought that was a really good sin.
Oh, as I started to read, because that's one of the main things we do is we pause and we read stuff that maybe you don't get to read when you're watching it at regular speed. And I'm just looking down his con list for killing this guy. And they're all the same thing.
Yeah.
They're all just like,
I'm good.
I'm a good person. Killing is bad. Judeo-Christian principles. Like, this is all the same point.
Sitting on, like, the MVP of the show, the toilet.
That's right.
I also like, too, and it was mentioned in the comments, the sin about the soul taking up a space. This is one of those sins that I like that you wrote it where it's like, if there's a sin about a soul, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then it's later and it's like, oh, fuck. Just the way that it played off later on in the...
I have more on that in Keeping Tabs.
Neat.
Ready to move on to Everything Wrong with The Good Place, Michael's Gambit.
Let's do it.
This was a Hughes Watkins script.
Mm-hmm.
You guys wrote on the pilot as well together, right?
I have no recollection.
I think you guys have done both of these.
I mean, I remember writing it, but I... You know, Jonathan and I are in agreement on this one. This is he said that this is one of his favorite shows he's ever discovered while working on TV Sins. And that's the same for me. We both.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah. I've always been a fan. And I think that's why I'll start here. This episode is one of those episodes that it's a moment. Because if you're watching this show the first season, like I was, and you're just watching each episode as it comes out, you know, each mm-hmm. week, you have zero sense of what's coming.
Right.
And I don't think that's possible within a month after this episode aired. Within a month after this episode aired, even subconsciously, if you go back to watch this show, you know there's something interesting about this show that people are really bubbling. You know what I mean? And so it's like it's this different thing of when I watched this episode, it blew my mind.
I remember.
Like, you cannot do this in sitcoms. Sitcoms don't do twist endings to seasons. That's just not, you know what I mean? And so I love it. It's when I was like, oh, so this show and I are together forever.
This show is hard to sin because they are so, like, they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and we'll kind of get more into the sins moments here in a moment. Because Jonathan continued to say it's inventive, hilarious, and actually has heart to it while not being overtly cheesy. And of course, the twist is great, even though I already knew it. I agree with him. But then, like, on top of that, they go into such deep philosophical conversations too, and manage to keep it light. So they sprinkle in like conversations about the meaning of life, the meaning of friendships, the meaning of our moral compass, the meaning of the afterlife. Like, there's all of this stuff. And so to me, I just think the minds that put this together and they were so purposeful and so specific and had such a clear vision of what they wanted to do. It's an example to me of how to do a good sitcom, not only with great actors and like humor and everything, but just like all of it working together. There was something here that was really magical. And it's something that I'm glad that they've ended. I'm so glad this didn't turn into one of those sitcoms that just keeps like dipping back into the drama well to figure out how to stretch this way beyond where it needs to go. It doesn't need to be Friends season 1000. You know, it's just it has a story to tell and then the story is over. And I love that. And I love how it ended, like everything about it. Is something that I really, really enjoyed. So sending it was definitely not my favorite.
Michael Schur is the creator of The Good Place, and he also was involved in bringing us The Office, as well as Parks and Recreation, and as well as Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So
gotcha. He's got a good pulse for humor.
Yeah. As far as the episode itself, I'll start since I didn't write on it. Fart Leaker Chair. Was very funny to me.
Thanks. Funny thing about Fart Leaker Chair, in our script, sometimes we'll like have something that will contradict itself inside the same script.
Yes, yes.
So we like we send toilet humor and then do a Fart Leaker Chair joke.
Of course. That is completely appropriate.
I know, and it's just so funny to see how trolled people feel.
You can't do it, but we can do it. Do as I say, not as I do.
Just funny.
When Michael just casually knocks the water glass off and it's just house cats.
Yay. I love that. I had to fight for that one.
That one's so good.
I had to fight for that one a couple of times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks feline like when he does.
Oh, yeah.
It's like very dismissive. And yeah, no, I thought that was really funny.
Yeah. That one makes me laugh.
Lifting the curse ban and then Jeremy giving an example I thought was good. The cheaty sin was like I won't change or maybe I will. I love meta stuff like that.
I'm not surprised to see that in the comments section, there's a lot of conversation about the sins, you know, for people that are like defending the furniture or the desks, you know, or all the other ones where people get defensive about the show because it is so well made.
It's pretty intricate.
It's very intricate.
And it certainly leaves an openness to why things might be the way they are.
But when you have the fans defending the show, it's that to me says that they love it so much they don't want it to be sinned. And I totally get that. Like, I have my moments watching sins videos where I'm like, no, you can't.
It's okay.
It's okay. You feel like you're doing your job when you're trolling people a little bit, which is sort of interesting.
And I mean, yes. I mean, at the end of the day, it's for a smile, for a laugh. So,
and that's the hope, is that you found something in there that you enjoyed. But yeah, let's lift that curse ban if If it's actually hell.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
The only other thing I wanted to mention was the sin at the end about, you know, maybe write something else like, also, this is hell. You know, if you're going to leave yourself a note.
Yeah.
Very convenient.
Yeah. It was fun. That was a fun one.
Let's talk about music video sin, shall we?
I think we should talk about Meghan Trainor specifically, but only if you want to.
Meghan Trainor and Nicki Minaj, too, right?
Surprise.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, I didn't read the title. So I was like, "Whoa, wait, huh?"
I think on a total audio level, I like the song. Like it sounds cool. It's cool enough for whatever, and the message doesn't seem awful. I'm just kind of indifferent to it. You know, it just seems like very basic pop music to me.
Yeah, it's like an easy reach.
Yeah,
it felt a little bit of a easy reach positive message, but I have to tell you, I hated the video.
Why do you hate the video, though?
I don't know. I think it's pastels.
Oh, interesting. I loved the La La Land outtake.
Feels very Easter to me.
It reminded me of the La La Land dresses, and they used the La La Land outtake at the end, which I thought was hilarious.
Oh, see, I missed that reference because I didn't see La La Land.
Yeah.
You hate me if you want to. Listen.
I don't hate you. Listen, you're the one that's missing out on stuff you might like.
That's true.
It doesn't bother me.
No, for some reason, just the aesthetics of the video. Like, I didn't, the fashion I didn't like, the hairstyle, the makeup, the colors, the guys, the sets, nothing hit this for me. Even Nicki Minaj's clothes. It was like, there was nothing. Oh, you know what? I liked Nicki's wig.
It was definitely a choice.
Bubblegum pink. Looked really cool.
Yeah.
And I like that one.
That's about all.
That's it. Like, Megan's hair was bothering me. I don't know. It was pushing like 80s clothing.
Are you okay? Did something happen? Did somebody hurt you today?
That's a deep conversation.
You're just taking it out on this video.
I am equipped for this job. I just didn't enjoy it. I did not like it.
No, I get it.
This is one I like to listen to, but not really, actually. I mean, it was not a pop song. I'd be like, ooh, that's my jam. It's like, okay, that's a song.
Yeah.
But then the video just made it, kind of taste like, you know those Easter candies that are eggs?
Uh-huh.
Where it's like chocolate malt ball or something.
Yeah.
It kind of first the coloring of the egg, which is chalky, dissolves in your mouth and that coats your entire mouth, and so then you can't enjoy the malt or the chocolate because it's been coated in this weird chalky egg flavor stuff. That's what this video was for me.
Okay. Yeah. Fake sugar.
Worse than that. It didn't even taste like sugar. It's like chalk.
Well, I guess I should clarify. Fake sugar does taste like chalk to me. I don't know. I guess it tastes like sugar to other people. I can tell. I don't like it.
Yeah, which just means I loved the video, the Sins video. Rip it apart.
What were some of your things? You're probably going to steal all mine, but go ahead.
Well, actually, the first thing was, speaking of being somebody who sometimes gets triggered by Sins, when he goes into the Taylor Swift documentary, Netflix documentary, I was like, no, you can't do that.
Leave her out of this.
I love Taylor. you do it because I don't want to take yours.
Have you met Tom Holland?
Have you?
Was my favorite sin.
I haven't.
There was later they did Have You Met Meghan Markle, which for whatever reason.
She's like the perfect woman or something.
Yeah, for whatever reason, didn't hit me as hard as Have You Met Tom Holland. I thought that was great. Girl from Ipanema when they were in the elevator and then to call back to it in the outtakes, I thought was great too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I too love the Girl from Ipanema. And
me too. I super know what you're talking about.
It's like the classic elevator song. Those were some of my favorites.
You know what?
What?
This is going to be the shortest segment today. Let's move on.
to the movie Sins, otherwise known as, you know what we should call it? Cinema Sins. It's got sin right in there. Wouldn't that make sense?
That is the greatest name for a YouTube channel. We should super do it. Which one do you want to do? Because we have two this week. Yeah,
we'll start with The Departed since that came out first. This was an Atkinson Scott script. As far as the movie itself, you haven't seen it, right?
I haven't. And guys, I apologize. I forgot to ask the guys for notes. I don't know if I mentioned this. I've been really sick. I don't even have like their thoughts on it.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen this movie. So this might be even faster than the Meghan Markle.
That's okay.
Wait,
we already.
I just said Meghan Markle.
That's fine. It was Meghan Markle, Meghan Trainor. They're pretty much the same person.
Guys, it's a day.
it can be a quicker episode today.
Oh,
Jonathan's
wow.
out. You're not feeling well. Everybody gets it. No, I've seen the movie, and so I guess I will say I didn't like it, and that is a very
you didn't like the movie?
Unpopular opinion.
Oh.
I guess there are some others who don't like The Departed. There's some really forced symbolism that people hate in it, that kind of stuff. But for me, it comes down to this is a Scorsese gangster movie where he is doing that thing where it's just like, watch these crazy gangster people do crazy gangster things. Isn't it fun? And I'm like, no, it's not fun. So I don't have a good time with it.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to rewatch some of these movies and maybe give them a second chance with, you know, because I have different eyes now than
I
had, you know, when I watched it the first
time. With all your free time.
Yes, exactly. With all my free time. But
I will say, though, Matt Damon and Leonardo DiCaprio, I find to be.
They're great.
Really fun to watch.
Yes.
I like their style most
right.
of the time.
Right. They're great actors.
Yeah.
My problem is...
And also
is,
really handsome. Okay.
Yes, they are both very handsome. But also, for me, I need more than just a great performance. I need something in the movie that connects me. Something in the movie where I go, this is where I'm investing.
So,
whether it be a message or a theme or right, a character or
And as somebody
something.
Who didn't see it, what was it supposed to be?
I think you're just supposed to invest in, oh, look at this crazy world and they're killing each other. And like, it's that Martin Scorsese thing, like gangsters, aren't they cool? Like, you know, it's just kind of like, isn't it cool how they double cross each other and kill each other in these, you know, surprising ways? And I'm just like, it doesn't connect to me. It just doesn't interest me in that way. I am apparently, that part of my masculinity has been shut off, I guess. I don't know what that is.
Guns, drugs.
Right? Like, it doesn't excite me.
No. You're so. Like, I love Pixar.
Thank you. You. I am a child, a testosterone-less child.
Who is Jack in this one?
Jack Nicholson?
Yeah.
I probably will not be able to answer your questions on either of those movies.
Well, this is going to be awkward. Okay.
But I can
we'll
try.
We'll try.
What was your question about Jack? About his character?
I was just trying to figure out, like, in relation to each other, are they co-workers? That's not maybe the best word.
Aaron, I have a question about The Departed. Are all these guys, like, co-workers?
Like, how are they related to
Some
each
of
other?
Them are. You basically got the FBI, and then you've got organized crime, and Jack is organized crime.
Okay, that's what
but
I thought.
But he's actually being an informant for the FBI, but he's kind of double-crossing that. He's like a triple agent kind
right.
of thing.
He's actually so, working for Santa Claus the whole
the
time.
The whole time, it's... About Santa Claus. Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of like one of those who's going to figure out who's who when?
Yeah, who's in on it? Who's going to, you know, get the other person first? Is Leo going to figure out that Matt Damon, you know, is the guy? Or is, you know, Matt going to sabotage Leo? And it's just, there's nothing good comes
who's
out of it.
Who's going to kill who first?
Yes.
And so the movie ends with Rat Stew.
Yes. With some heavy-handed rat symbolism.
Okay.
Because there's so many rats.
Right.
Traitors, you know, kind of thing.
That they're just all over banisters.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Wow, this sounds like a super great movie. I actually...
Somebody should be in here who likes this movie. It's an Oscar-winning film. Like,
is it?
You know, yeah.
Oh,
like
my God.
And that was this past week was Oscar week. And so they did two Oscar-winning films.
Oh.
So we put two Oscar-winning films out there. So that's kind of how that works.
Somebody knows what they're doing around here.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the video itself. I had several scenes that I enjoyed. There's a moment in the video where somebody says, you don't have a cat. I like that. And that's just like a line in the movie. And instead of even writing a sin, they just ding it. It's just like, we'll not put up with your cat hate.
Yeah. Listen, Jeremy loves cats.
There is a line that where one of the characters basically asks a woman if she's had her period yet or something like that. And then they do the whole... you, sir, I've known gynecologists and you, sir, are no gynecologists. It just cracked me up the way that they said it, made me laugh. And then to follow that directly with the sin steak fries. That's just, this is the like epitome of what we do. Like, it's just, it can go from one thing to another so quickly the narrator can, you know, be making a somewhat powerful and deep statement about men's inappropriateness with women, and then the next, he just doesn't like steak fries.
You know
so
what?
He just says steak fries.
And then you can get into the comments, and somebody's not having a good time.
And somebody's
with
not
that.
Having a good time with either
you
one
can't,
of them.
You can't say that that's wrong with the movie because steak fries are delicious.
Steak fries are amazing.
I love steak fries.
And then the other one that I wanted to mention was when one of the characters says, "My people are out there," and the sin is, "You have one people." Because it's true. That made me laugh. That's the
instead
Departed.
Of one person.
Right. You have one people.
That reminds me of when I first started looking over scripts. And I'm like, guys, I think our grammar is wrong. Because it's just like, why this show? Why this scene? And
right.
I'm like,
yeah.
I think we did something wrong here.
Exactly.
It's like, no.
No, that's intentional.
That's intentional. It's just funny. I really don't have much more to add to what you said. So if you want to just... Soupity doop dap doop jump into fava beans. We can.
Yeah, sure. Silence of the Lambs was an Atkinson Share script. So Chris and Barrett writing on this.
Prison Barry.
If there's one thing you can tell from this script, it's that they really liked this movie. There are so many sin removals on this one, and I don't blame them. The performances in this are so good.
Like, it's iconic.
It is iconic. It's insane how good Anthony Hopkins is in this movie, and Jodie Foster as well. So, like, it's just, I totally get it. This is a stunning film. So you haven't seen this one either?
No. This is definitely one that's on my head whip over to the side. Oh my God, what do you mean you haven't seen this one?
I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, it's kind of a horror film, so it wouldn't surprise me that you haven't seen it.
I know, but there's just those particular movies that people just assume that everybody has seen. But because it is such a, like, I've seen parts of this movie. I've not seen this movie in its entirety. So whenever I was watching the Sins video, there were certain things I remember watching. So I wonder if maybe I picked it up on TV a couple times and realized I was watching The Silence of the Lambs at some point in my life, which wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
As a recovering TV flipper. I haven't flipped the TV channels in holy crap forever.
Yeah.
But that used to be a thing. Hey, there used to be these things called remote controls. And what you would do is you would sit down and you would just go up or down the channel and that's all that you had. And so sometimes you'd land on something that looked interesting. And you see stuff.
You know what's amazing?
Mm-hmm.
There are more than one of the CinemaSins writers who still watch television that way. So,
wow, that's weird. I don't do that anymore.
No, me either.
It's been a long time since I've channel
very,
flipped.
Very, very long time.
But like the scene, I guess now that I know, sort of towards the end where she is showing up at the house and it's like that rug out from underneath you where you think the police are showing up, but it's just her by herself. That whole moment in the house where she's kind of being hunted, I've watched that and I don't remember anything
when
after a certain
why.
Moment.
Yeah.
And I don't remember anything before that. So I'm assuming that I was like, oh, this is too scary. And then I moved to change the
right,
channel.
Yeah.
But what I liked about like reading the script and seeing the Sins video and even the sin removals, I think there was 5 total on this one. That you're talking about too, is just the way that the sins are written or the sins removals are written is they're talking about the movie and what it's done for filmmaking while also sinning it. So for example, that moment, like this has been done so many times now, but was this the first time it was done super well where someone rings the doorbell and you think that they're somewhere where they're not?
Right.
And that's kind of fun to think about in filmmaking, where there's those groundbreaking moments, the twists, the different things like this. And watching the Sins video, piecing together what they're pointing out was interesting for me. Like, you know, the very beginning of the video, before she like leaves the detective's office, she asks a random question and then he gives her valuable information. And the Sin is like, why wouldn't you give her that before you send her off to do something? Or the guard that's like, don't get too close to the glass and maybe shows a picture of somebody who got hurt before. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm missing a lot of context clues, but it seems like this movie is just all about building that last second tension. And it's like that last second tension happens in all of these last second ways that if you think about it a lot, doesn't make any sense. But if you're sitting there watching it, it had to have been so powerful.
Yeah, it's just it's tension done perfectly.
Yeah,
it's done really, really well. So yeah, like I said, it doesn't surprise me all the sin removals. I think the first one they removed five, and then there were like three or four other sin removals where they moved one or two. So not surprising at all.
Yeah,
it's that good. The video itself, right at the beginning when it's like, couldn't we figure out the woods part for ourselves?
I loved that. That's so funny.
It's like, yeah, and why is that there?
And then she's like on some sort of campus where she can run and they can find her. And then she runs
apparently
back to, yeah.
And just goes in all sweaty because I guess that's what you do.
It's just amazing what
Quantico.
We just accept when we watch a movie or anything, really, anything entertainment. You sit there and you accept what you're seeing. And this job as a writer requires you to question everything that you're
seeing.
Question
everything, yeah.
So that's just fascinating to me, all the things that are easy to kind of pull from. There's some stuff that I really appreciated too, like the whole perspective of like her being the only female in this male dominated world, and to see her with just all these dudes looking at her like she's a piece of candy or like not
right.
worth anything. And at the time, I think, you know, that perspective was even more powerful. It's kind of hopefully becoming more common now to see the women in power positions mm-hmm. and not having to like explain it or show the work that has to be done. But this movie is showing the work that has to be done and the barriers that had to and still have to be kind of gone up against.
Right.
I really liked, you know, seeing that that moment.
Speaking of women at the FBI, I cannot watch even a clip of Silence of the Lambs and not think of Dana Scully from X-Files.
Oh, like, yeah.
I don't know. I guess they look kind of similar, but it just reminds. I think that's like the prototype kind of thing.
That was the sin that they removed three sins, I think, for the women empowerment, but it was only after showing that Hannibal Lecter treats her as an equal.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, so the only person in this show is really treating her like a person.
Is the serial killer.
Yeah. This is one of those movies, too, where I don't understand what is happening. It's so many iconic things. There's a moth. There's a guy with a dog in a pit. There's Hannibal Lecter. And I don't understand how
a
any
guy
of
with
them...
a dog in a pit.
Yeah.
Which one is what is that?
She puts on the lotion guy.
Yes.
There's that guy.
Yeah. A dog in a pit in the well.
Yeah.
It's not a dog.
He has a dog.
That's a woman.
There's a dog. He's holding a dog.
Oh, he may be holding a dog.
Yeah, there's a
dog.
Oh,
the guy with the dog.
Yeah.
And the pit.
What? I don't understand. Miscommunication is so fun sometimes.
I didn't know where the comma was.
Oh, right. Well, I was speaking very quickly.
Because I was saying the guy with the dog in the pit.
Oh, yeah. Well, he does get in the dog does go in the pit.
Does the dog go in the well?
Yeah, because she holds him hostage, remember?
Oh, yeah.
I think.
Yeah, you could be right. It has been, I need to admit, and this is why I said I might not be a huge expert on helping you on this one. I've seen mm-hmm. this once, and it was a long time ago.
Okay.
And I feel like a bad film person for that, but like there's so many great movies I haven't seen even once that it's hard for me to go revisit stuff.
So
sometimes.
I can't ask you the details of the case.
No.
Dang it.
No. I didn't even know the dog got in the pit. So.
Well, it seemed to me. This is fun, right? Like everyone listening on the last two or several videos probably like, I know this.
This is
I
why we need Jonathan.
Jonathan,
you are loved and needed.
We don't know what's happening without you, man. It was interesting. Like, so there's been moths and throats, and then there's a head
mm-hmm.
that's maybe embalmed. So is there a moth in that throat, and
right.
why was it there? And there's a sin about that it's been just, there for 10 years, and so was that Hannibal's head? And,
right. It's just,
or was that Bill's head? And I don't understand any of that stuff.
I don't know that I can put it all together for you, but it's kind of that serial killers that leave clues, and then you kind of piece things together by putting those little clues
together. But was it all so that
and,
Hannibal could escape prison in the future?
Oh, yeah.
Is that the idea?
Yeah,
is
he's
that
a mastermind, and he's figured out exactly how he needs to do to get out.
So he figured out how to make Bill kill people?
I think there's an element of that, yes.
So he kind of fostered him to kill people so that he could get out.
Well, again, it's been a long time.
Just say yes.
Yes.
Amazing. Wow. I also liked the mandatory face-off clip in this one.
Uh-huh.
That cracked me up because, of course, talking about faces off, and that's all I can think of.
Right.
And so for them to be like, pause, got to do this mandatory moment, that was a really, really fun play.
Nice.
But the rest of the things that I... Oh, and the cat that says, follow me to understanding. Loved that line. The rest of the things, I guess I'm going to have to just wait for Jonathan because I just have a whole bunch of questions. You know what? Or go watch it because it doesn't seem like it's that scary now that it's been so long.
I was going to ask you that. I wondered if maybe like watching Sins videos makes it easier for you to go, I bet I could watch that. You know,
I have...
It kind of depowers it in mm-hmm. some way.
Yeah, and I have felt that multiple times. I think we've even talked about it here on the show a few times that I feel like, oh, maybe I can go back and kind of watch this one. And now that I sort of know what's coming, and if the grossest thing is Hannibal Lecter biting off someone's nose,
yeah,
but and then doing like the 80s or whenever this came out version of like slashing somebody up, which is so PG, that'd be on TV now, you know. That's like,
yeah.
So yeah, I think I could probably watch this one.
Well, I await your review.
Oh no.
I liked the
why put that pressure on you, man?
I liked the quid pro quo, also known as official United States diplomacy.
Lord,
that cracked me up. They obviously copied this from Steve Buscemi in Con Air.
Yes.
Slayed me. And I Send Pete's Dragon Once was the other one that made me really giggle. Because we all know how much Jeremy hated Pete's Dragon.
The original?
No. The remake.
Okay. Well,
which I think is a perfectly fine movie. But...
Oh, Lord.
But don't let Jeremy know.
Don't tell him, guys.
Don't tell Jeremy.
Hey, podcast peeps. It's me again. Mm-hmm. Those are my dogs. Mm-hmm. Those are my. Every time I talk. Wow. Is this how Aaron feels? When we're. Okay. We're going to try this. Okay. I just wanted to tell you about the survey again, which is at cinemasense.com/BTS. So go fill it out.
I can just see the tweets now.
The internet is a communications tool used the world over where people can come together to bitch about movies and share pornography with one another.
Ha ha! Oh, jeez.
This is the most public yet of my many humiliations.
Ready to move on to keeping tabs?
Check.
We're each going to pull a story from putting together last week's content to chat about. Could be anything from a Google search to strange research to a deleted sin, whatever you like. You want to go first today?
Sure.
What do you got?
Okay. Well, I looked up two things for Breaking Bad. Well, I looked up a lot about Breaking Bad because I was clueless. But
yeah,
the first one I looked up, didn't find a lot, but then just asked you about it. Which was, why was it, what does the bags in the river mean?
And the bags in the river.
Because I thought that Walt was going to throw the dead body in the river in a bag.
Oh.
Because he killed somebody.
Yeah.
But then he didn't kill, like, it didn't show anything. It shows him over a highway. And I seriously assumed he was kind of like looking out over the highway, and then there was like a river, and we would see him like drag the body over to the river.
You're just waiting for this river to show up.
There's no river. So thank you for explaining that. That's just the cat's out of the bag,
titles,
and it gets worse.
See, different shows do different titles differently, right?
Just like our podcast.
That's right. Like you watch an episode of Friends, and it says the one where, you know, Joey tells Rachel, and you're like, oh, this is the one where Joey tells Rachel.
Right.
You know, like they make it very obvious, and then others are more artistic.
So this is more artistic.
Yeah, it's more of a just kind of a common phrase, and it plays off of the second episode, which was cat's out of the bag.
And that's what you explained to me. So thank you, because the internet did no service for me on that one. But I also looked up why Jesse's face was so jacked up in this one, because there's like a moment they're fighting in the...
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's wrong with Jesse's face?
Which, we did the Goonies outtake.
Yeah. Yes. Which is why, because it's just so disfigured.
Puffy.
And inflamed.
Yeah.
And
an allergic reaction.
Like, I could not find... anything that explains. There's so much wiki material for Breaking Bad, but nothing specifically
about.
Did you
find anything eventually?
No, I mean, I ended up looking up, like, does meth cause inflammation?
Okay. Hello, FBI.
I know. God. But apparently it can. It can cause like inflammation issues. So
I thought it was, it's been a long time since I've watched that second episode because we skipped over it for In the Sins. But I think it's because he got beat up, isn't it?
Didn't he
get roughed up? I thought he got roughed up.
Well, like in my mind, and maybe I should go back and watch it again, it was after he took drugs that it really was obvious. But maybe there wasn't a lot
thing.
Before that that I'm missing or something, because I'm missing something.
Yeah. I think you're missing him getting roughed up by the people that they now have. They've killed one of them, and they now have the other one in captivity.
The drug people that they're taking over the scene.
Yeah, I think the drug people roughed him up.
Who were informants, by the way.
Yes.
Oh, God. I know that because I looked it up.
There you go.
So that's what I looked at. What about you?
I kind of hinted at mine, but for the sin at the beginning that comes full circle at the end, where it's like if they say, you know, so here's the sin. And he says, we are blank percent short. It just seems like something's missing, doesn't it? And I said, is it 21 grams short in reference to the movie 21 grams? Because if Sean Penn walks into the room right now, I'm giving all the sins back. But I swear to God, if she says, what about the soul? I'm adding 15 more.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't happen. So he's like, phew. I wrote that completely forgetting she actually says that at the end. And now
that's funny.
Now I will say this: the brain is an amazing thing. I probably knew that in my brain.
Sure.
I knew that was coming because I have seen the episode. But when I wrote that, I had forgotten in at least my conscious brain that actually happens. So when it came to the end, I was laughing so hard.
You're like, what?
I was like, oh, I guess I have to give those sins now.
Because the soul weighs something, okay?
Yeah, that is the implication.
It's not weightless. Our souls have...
weight to them? Maybe about 21 grams? Is it possible you've seen that movie, 21 grams?
No.
Oh, because it's about the weight of the soul. And
oh, no, I haven't seen that.
It's just the urban legend that dead bodies, you know, weigh 21 grams less than they did when they were alive.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Nothing to do with moisture.
No.
Drying up in our skin or whatever.
Yes, exactly. So there you go. It's just kind of one of those funny things where you remember something that you didn't know you remembered. And then there it is. And you're like, wow, that's amazing.
That reminds me of when I did that with the pilot of The Good Place. And one of my sins was about like, yeah, that's what a demon would say.
Right,
and you were
like,
Danae, you can't write that because that's actually the reveal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but that means I'm right. Like it's somewhere in there. And it's just this weird thing that our brains
do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun stuff. You ready to move on to the comment section?
Let's do it.
I want to know what you're thinking. I appreciate your honesty. You're a real straight shooter.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
We're each going to pick a comment from this week's videos to talk about, and we've got a feedback question as well from Tyler that we'll get to here in a bit. But first, Danae, what did you find in the comments?
Oh, so many lovely things. Mostly about toilets and basements. A lot of conversation. OP Shogun for Breaking Bad said, in basement toilets defense, my friends... house has one right in the middle of theirs.
I guess it's a thing.
And then like Ethan's like, my grandmother's house in Cincinnati has basement toilet and it's out in the open.
Has
no
basement
idea.
Toilet.
Yeah.
It's like a disease.
Kel says
your grandma's house caught basement toilet.
Like
sorry.
Kel
it's
says
terminal.
I know of at least four random basement toilets. Someone needs to research this and get back to me. And then people start talking about furnished and unfurnished basements, like conversation. This happened so many times in the comments. I really enjoyed this because I personally have never walked down into an unfinished basement and seen a toilet just in the middle of the room.
Is that even? Maybe people are different. Now this is a personal question,
okay,
Danae, that I'm about to ask.
Oh,
you.
Okay.
Between you and your husband,
very open about.
Are you private poopers or?
Well,
or
first,
public poopers.
First of all, let me clarify. We don't even have a basement. We have bathrooms that have walls.
Well, they have a door, right? I'm asking, do you close the door?
We have doors and everything.
Do you close the door or do you lock the door?
I started to keep the door open to deter my husband from coming into the bathroom whenever I'm like, hey, I'm going to the bathroom. And then he'd like used to bust in on me. And now I just leave the door open so that he knows there's something happening. They're context clues that give him plenty of time.
I say this because the woman I am closest to in the universe and knows everything about me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's it's like I still close the door. Like, I can't imagine being wide open.
Closes the door. I decided at some point in time in the last 10 years to not give a fuck anymore. And here's the thing. I think he wishes that I did, because there have been multiple times in recent history. And you know what? And having a kid, too, it's like I have no time to care anymore.
Yeah.
Like my self-care time where I can like get a long hot shower and just have time to myself is like less than a tenth of a percent of my life now. I used to be able to like go and just take care of myself, have time. Now I've got a toddler that like bangs on the door. Mom, mommy. And I'm like, honey, you know, I'm busy right now. And then she has a meltdown because she can't get to me. So for me, it's just much easier to just be like, yeah, come on in, everybody.
Maybe you need a basement toilet.
I'm going to make you not want to be here. And the way to do that is to have this door open. So you walk in and you experience what you don't want to hear, see, or smell.
Okay, fair enough.
So I think that's my answer. Would you prefer a shorter answer?
No. That was the perfect answer. Okay. You'd be much more open to a basement toilet than I would. I just can't imagine not being able to shut a door.
No, but here's the thing. We're talking about my family, my nuclear family.
You live in your house. So
you
like,
live
if
in my house
your,
and around
you know,
me. And also, I don't mind desensitizing body function to my toddler. I don't want her to feel weird about having body function. Yeah.
There shouldn't be shame. There should be no shame in that.
Yesterday, she asked me to draw poop. And I'm like, cool, let's do it. So we got out. I'm like, do you want me to do like an emoji poop or like a poop that the doggies have? And so she's like the doggy poop. And so then I draw it with like little stinky lines above it. And she looks at me. She's like a huge smile. That's a good poop, Mom. Ew, it smells so bad. And I was like, that's right. Do we touch poop? No. Do we eat poop? No. It's a good teaching moment. Yeah. Let's just, you know.
Fair enough.
Let's talk about it.
Fair enough.
But now if I go to someone else's house, there's no way I'm going to leave the door open.
Yeah.
No way.
Or use the basement toilet.
You know this about me. Like, even around you. If I'm at your house, I have to poop. What do? I go upstairs all the way across the closet. I close every door.
Lock as many doors as you can.
Yes. I've made you leave houses before so I could go to the bathroom by myself. So it's only
that's true.
Talking about it,
that's true.
Super fine. Guys, I'll talk
about
things.
As far as I know, you don't even get gas.
No. Not as far as you know, but I'll talk about gas. I'll talk about really bad bowel movements all day long. It's fun. But if it's real and it's with my other people besides my family, it's zipped up.
Wow, you installed a zipper.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they do that now.
That might make things easier.
It's don't do the button. It's very messy. Just zip it.
The button.
I did that on accident.
Nice. I liked this comment. It was educational to me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti, Hannibal Lecter says. Would have been on Hannibal Lecter would have been on monoamine oxidase inhibitors, MAOIs. The three things you're not allowed to eat while taking them are liver, beans, and wine.
Whoa.
So I found that very interesting that he would be that smart that he would play all that in together. And there was also some really smart stuff in the comments about him mispronouncing Chianti is a way of making fun of her accent as well.
Oh.
So instead of Chianti.
They've had a lot of years to think about how amazing that movie is.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Ready to get to the question?
Let's do it.
This comes from Tyler Volk.
Hey, Tyler.
Who says, what's a show or movie you loved as a kid but appreciate so much more as an adult? The correct answer is, in fact, Clue the movie. You guys are awesome.
You know,
what's your
question.
Incorrect answer, Danae?
Well, I don't know that I have an incorrect answer. Don't at me, Tyler. I could not think of a particular one because I'm super bad at like sometimes remembering exact ones. But I've had this feeling happen a lot lately because of Disney Plus, where I'm going back and I'm watching these like older, you know, hand-drawn cartoons and I'm showing them to Iris. And these are ones I watched growing up and I just keep thinking, man, this is so nice because the pacing is so different.
Yeah.
It's like what they're showing you is mind-blowing to a kid, but nowadays what they show kids is mind-blowing like on the next level because it's just all of this information just zipping into your brain instead of something that's sort of slower paced and sort of more gentle. And I think that there's a fun balance there. And like, I would love to say that my daughter can sit through you know, like one of these old ones. I can't remember the name of it, but it might be something to do with the spring, but it's like where the trees are sort of dancing and the spring maiden comes up and then is, it's like basically Persephone. She's taken to hell and then she comes back up in the spring, and it's like this old drawn one. And I remember watching it, and it's just fascinating to see these old, you know, cartoons that are really interesting to me to watch, but they're slower and it's more about just these interesting movements that they can draw rather than it being like this incredible twist and reveal about who the PJ Masks kids are going to go like kill or whatever. I don't know.
So your answer is basically Disney Plus.
My answer is the older drawn, like,
but not
content.
One in particular. There's not one you can think of other than Springtime for Persephone or whatever it's called.
Springtime Persephone, that's not what it's called, is the most recent one. It's happened multiple times, but we haven't made it through like Bambi or something, but that would be an example. Just
right.
These, or Seven Dwarfs, you know, like Snow White, those kinds of,
yeah,
you know, just different storytelling and different time. And I think they're still amazing. So that's my right answer.
I have three answers. And the probably my favorite answer is Princess Bride, which I, you know, loved growing up. Although it kind of, it came out when I was already in an adolescent. So it's hard to call that one a kid, but I do remember, you know, watching it during my teenage years and just loving it.
You
but
were now, super a kid.
But now as an adult, I'm like, oh, this movie is good. Like the way it's playing with characters, the way it's, you know, the way the story progresses, like all that stuff is really cool. Wizard of Oz is definitely one I watched as a kid. And then as I've gotten older, I've really fallen in love with the artistry there.
Singing in the Rain. Is that your next one? Did I guess it?
No.
Oh.
No. I didn't love Singing in the Rain as a kid.
Oh.
I don't know that I was fully aware of how amazing Singing in the Rain was until I was a teenager.
Oh, okay.
So.
You're still a kid.
No, but for me, this is like, the idea of this question for me is when your brain didn't understand how movies were made.
Oh, I gotcha.
Like when your brain didn't understand why a movie is good or bad. It was just like, oh, I like watching this. Like, and
I
that,
like Persephone going to hell. That's cool.
Right. So,
ooh,
and
a
then,
devil. That's scary.
And then later your brain progresses and you learn more about, you know, cinema and how movies are made and all that kind of stuff. The other one is Mary Poppins.
Ooh.
Definitely watched that a lot as a kid.
Oh,
and
my
just
God.
Loved it. In
Bed Knobs and Broomsticks. Just watched that one.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That is a fun movie.
By the way, it's Disney's 1934, The Goddess of Spring.
The Goddess of Spring, 1934.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you're going way back.
I'm telling you, I watched this when I was a kid. It was on Disney.
Disney Plus, man.
But now, and now I can watch it again. Well, I totally forgot about it until I'm flipping through and I'm like, oh my God, I remember watching this when I was
a kid. Man, yeah. And you watched it when you were a kid in the 30s, huh?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, you didn't know that I'm ageless, right? I'm a vampire.
No, you are Persephone.
That would be pretty sweet.
Nice.
I'd have so much power.
Mary Poppins is cool, though, because since I watched Mary Poppins as a kid, I fell in love with like the Dick Van Dyke Show and more of what he's done. And then so to go back and watch it as an adult, and also Julie Andrews, you know, who that was her first like break onto the scene, and it was incredible. So I really dig Mary Poppins and kind of what they've done there and that kind of stuff. So
good answers.
Those would be my three.
And a super great question.
Yes.
You can send in your questions, by the way. There are several ways to do it. You can email us.
Yep.
bts@cinemasins.com or behindthesins@cinemasins.com. Or you can tweet us. Cinemasins BTS.
And we love answering your questions.
On
the
Twitter. So let us know. On the tweeters.
You ready to move on to Beyond the Sins?
Let's do it.
To infinity and beyond.
Somewhere beyond my wild history.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
Beyond the Sins. We're going to tell you about stuff beyond sins.
Beyond those sins.
I'm going to talk about a game this week.
Okay.
Is that okay?
That's great.
Okay, so I found this game. And God, you are going to think I'm so lame and old. Like an old lady. Hey, everybody. I have another game for you. This one's called Rummikub.
This one's called Parcheesi. I want to tell you a little bit about shuffleboard.
This is a Rummikub game. You have tiles.
Wait, are you really going to talk about Rummikub?
Yeah.
Rummikub's fun.
It's a super fun game. What I love about Rummikub, if you've never played before, is that you have like a central area that everyone's playing with, and you can like move all these tiles around.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes very much a puzzle piece of how to get all of your tiles out.
Which is why when you play with me, my turn lasts about 25 minutes.
So here's the thing. This is an app. You have no more than 30 seconds for your turn.
What?
And you can
play. Game ruined.
You can play one where you have a minute. So that has some ways for you to sort of change what kind of game you want to play.
Is there unlimited?
No. And it costs coins to play each round. You have to play. You put in 100 coins, and if you don't win, then you're losing those coins. And so, of course, they want you to buy more coins to play more games. You know, you have tiles in front of you that all have a number on it. There's four different colors, and then there's numbers 1 through 13, and then there's a couple of wild tiles that can become whatever number you want. And there's rules to it. There's a tutorial that you can play. And you're actually playing with other real people. So it's not, you can play where you're just playing against the computer if you want to, but you can actually play against other people. And that's fascinating as well.
Well, I guess if you're playing against other people, I understand the time limit.
Yeah.
If you're playing against the computer, I think you should be able to take as long as you want.
You can go into the settings and kind of play around with it.
I will. Thank you very much.
I love Rummy Cube. And since it's not a game I get to sit down and play anymore, it was just like this nice sort of, oh, I love this game, because at some point in time, you've got like maybe one tile remaining and it's like a yellow two, and you know it can go somewhere on the board if you just rearrange everything. And so then it's just figuring out how to rearrange the board in 30 seconds.
That's crazy.
It just really challenges you. And so I am going to lightly recommend this one. If you like Rummy Cube, I think you'll pick up on it really quickly because you know the rules of the game. If you've never played Rummy Cube before, it might be a little bit challenging. So definitely play a lot in the free games where you're not spending coins as you learn. Because then once you start playing with coins and you lose a lot, they're gone and you can't get them back until you log in or watch a freaking ad or like pay money. And so I've already deleted the game because I'm like,
yeah,
I ran out of coins and I was like, I want to play forever. So I'll probably get it again because
it's like,
I
don't think these games realize how much money they're turning down by not offering a one-time purchase option.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many more people like you or me, for instance, who use Google Play Rewards, where we, have money that we can buy games with, that would say, yeah, here's $4.99 for your game. Take my $5. But because they want to be depended on for that, sweet, sweet coin milk from their from their teats, they don't do that.
But it is fun to play with other people, and it's it's kind of hard sometimes too to find an app that works well when you're connecting multiple people together for one game. And I was really impressed with the gameplay on that. I think that they've done a really good job of making sure everyone's connected. And there's also like a warning that'll come up if you don't have a strong signal, where it's like you really need to play on like a practice game if you want to play right now because your signal's not really great. But yeah, there's rules. I want to talk about Rummy Cube because I like the game, but that'd be super boring. So let's just go on to what yours is, Aaron.
I'm going to tell you about a TV show that I think that you will love.
Me, Danae, or everybody listening?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Both. This goes both ways. You, Danae, I think will love this TV show. You as well will love this TV show. But you may not be able to watch. So you're welcome. This is called Mythic Quest Raven's Banquet, and the reason you may not be able to watch it is it's an Apple TV Plus show. Now, if you have an Apple device, I think you have a year or even more of Apple TV Plus, so you may want to look into that, but this is hilarious, and it's about a group of game developers who are developing a World of Warcraft.
I was going to say, this sounds like one of my D&D games.
This is more World of Warcraft than D&D.
I'm in. I'm leaning in closer to you? Yes. Uh-huh.
So Raven's Banquet is the latest expansion to Mythic Quest series, right?
Yeah. Can I play my character that
So this is behind the scenes of them trying to develop and release this extension, expansion. This expansion.
I knew what you meant. It's fine.
And it's really funny. The characters, I think, are really likable, but all have their own little quirks and little things about them that make them human and also not likable a little bit sometimes.
Sure.
Danny Putty, who you may know from Community, is in it, and he's great. F. Murray Abraham, the amazing actor, is hilarious in this. I would love to. Do you have Apple Plus, Danae? Apple TV Plus?
You guys
have an iPad.
My husband is an Apple guy, and I have an iPad at home that I use for some things.
I wonder if you have access to it and you don't know it.
I might. I'm not sure.
Anyway, I would highly recommend it. It's really funny, and I think they released all 10 episodes at once, and they're like 20 to 30 minutes long each. And so it's a nice quick breeze through this world. And
fun.
Yeah, and I think you specifically, Danae, would love all the World of Warcraft
type
jokes that they're making and things that they're doing. So yeah.
My first World of Warcraft character was a troll named Blaze, Blaize. And she had a red mohawk. And she was a hunter.
And you still remember her.
Yeah. I think I still actually have, I could log into my game and maybe even still find her someday. But I don't have time to play games anymore. If I don't have time to shower, I don't have time to play games anymore.
One of my favorite jokes in the one of the first few episodes is they're developing a shovel for this expansion that's part of the game. Or one person wants it to be part of the game. And another person's like, but what's the TTD on this item? And the TTD is pretty immediate. And then there's a new person like, what's TTD? Oh, time to dick. And it basically means the time it'll take players to draw a dick out of whatever item you put in the game. And that just cracked me up. It's like, that actually seems like a conversation
like a normal thing,
actually might have.
Sure.
So anyhow.
Oh, that's fun.
So you might like it. It's called Mythic Quest Raven's Banquet, and again on Apple TV Plus.
Nice one.
Yeah. That's going to do it for Behind the Sins this week. Don't forget to make sure you are subscribed and go ahead and leave a comment or rating as well. You can hang out with us on Twitter. I'm at Aaron Dicer. She is at Danae Says.
D-E-N-E-E says.
And at Sam Loomis 13. Yeah, we'll be back with us soon.
You can tweet him and be like, okay, are you alive?
Please come back.
God, you were so missed this episode as they lobbed along.
And if you want to tweet at us as Behind the Sins, we are at CinemaSinsBTS. So for Jonathan Watkins, Danae Hughes, and myself, we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. Send any feedback to BehindTheSinsPod@gmail.com and be sure to subscribe or message us at Twitter. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.
Scoop. It's like when you have a scoop of ice cream, but it tastes like crap and fell on the ground.
You know, poop was right there and it rhymes with scoop.
Dang it. Whoa, you hear that? Do you hear that?
Do I hear what?
It's the sound of my computer.
Because I don't have headphones on, Danae.
Oh, yeah. Also, I don't think anybody listening could hear it. I'm going to move my mic closer. It's alien. You're going to be so proud of me.
Yeah, what happened?
I completely avoided purchasing new pens for $10 today at a discount store.
How many pens for $10?
It was 10 pens.
So $1 a pen.
$1 a pen, yeah.
That's not bad.
No, you're going to make me want to go back and get them.
What kind of pens? Like, were they fountain pens?
They were felt tip pens.
Okay, felt tip.
Mm-hmm. They were 0.4.
Yes, 0.4, my favorite.
Mm-hmm. So they're very precise looking. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It made me want to doodle and draw in multiple colors.
Do you still do the doodle for the...
I started paying attention.
Oh, look at you. You started caring about your job.
I stopped going on Discord during the show and I started paying attention. And so there's no more doodles. I only have a handful of doodles. There's no more.
It's okay. You know, seasons. Things are in seasons.
Yeah.
The doodles were a season.
Oh, it's a season.
The season of the doodles.
I decided to peel my headphones. I have little Bluetooth headphones and I stick in my ears, which I hate because then it gets like ear stuff in it.
Yeah.
So I decided to take them apart and try to clean them.
That doesn't seem like a great idea at all.
Well, you know, I have fingernails, so it makes it easier because you can kind of scoop and flick.
It's not the taking apart that I'm worried about, Danae.
Yeah.
It's it working when you put it back together.
Well, that's the thing. Apparently, there was this little piece of plastic film over the main of, I don't know, it's not called a vent, it's just a hole that goes into the where the sound comes out.
Your expertise with the names of the parts probably is representative of the fact that you shouldn't have taken it apart to begin with.
there's a little squishy part that you're supposed to be able to take off and replace, like if you have a bigger or smaller ear hole.
Uh-huh. No, I know what you're talking about.
I took that off, and then there's this little piece of plastic film that's like over the main hole that shoots the sound out into your ears.
Right.
Probably to protect you a little bit more. That way the ear doesn't, the sound doesn't go directly into your ear.
It's actually a vibration thing, I believe.
That's the vibration part of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew that.
Keeps that vibration from sounding tinny.
Yeah, yeah. It's, we'll call it the tinny filmer. Oh my gosh, I went to the wrist doctor.
Yeah, you've got a growth.
I know.
How's your growth?
Apparently very normal.
Okay.
Ganglion cysts are normal.
Ganglion.
Mm-hmm. Sounds very like gargoyle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember,
it sounds like from a different planet or something.
Yeah, I've got an alien wrist thing.
Yes, we believe you've had some sort of extraterrestrial encounter because the ganglion. Shut up. Did I say glugglanglion?
The glugglanglions.
The glugglanglions. What is it?
Ganglion.
The ganglions.
Move on.
All right.
I could tell the doctor was, you know, busy. He burst into the room. Usually they kind of like knock, knock, pause,
who's there?
And then they come in. This guy was, it was like a police raid knock. I should know. I've been in one before. It was like a boom, boom, enter.
Yeah.
So much so I jumped out of my seat because I was on my cell phone and there was a sign that said, don't be on your cell phone. So I immediately felt like I was doing something wrong. So I shoved the cell phone under my butt. Like in my seat, I just like, and I and he goes, yeah. Did I scare you? And I was like, I was on my phone. I'm sorry.
Just putting my Jonathan puppet away.
Shut up. What? God. No. He also had no sense of humor. Like he was seriously so busy. You can tell he had no time for the didn't like my shenanigans. Mm-hmm. Because so if I think it's flex my hand downward.
Okay.
So like. Then this ganglion cyst sort of juts out of the front of my wrist.
I believe you mean glugglanglion.
Glugglanglion. And it looks like a kind of like a narwhal whale or like a unicorn horn.
A narwhal?
Narwhal. And anyway, I said, yeah, I've been calling it my unicorn horn. And he's just like, anyway, it's not going to be.
Oh, you got to love doctors.
He was so overworked. And I was like, I'm sorry. And so then I got real serious, started calling him yes sir, no sir. Like yeah, just to prove that I respect the man. Mm-hmm, and I wanted him to know that I was here for it, you know.
That's right.
He explained the whole thing to me. I mean, the ganglion cysts are fascinating, but.
So what are you going to do about it?
I don't know yet.
You haven't decided?
Well, I told him what my dad said. The poor God, this poor doctor. I was like, my dad told me to take a big book and smack it really hard.
Was this before or after you supposedly started to take him seriously?
This was after I took him seriously. Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He was describing.
The yes or no, sir, only goes so far.
Oh, no. He actually looked me in the eye. He was like, yeah, everybody says that. Kind of like maybe everybody says, how's the weather up there for tall guys?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's something.
Doctors have heard all that kind of stuff.
I guess he hears it all the time.
Yeah.
But people do that. They really do smack their cysts with, specifically ganglion cysts.
Yes.
With, like, books and stuff.
Yeah.
Because apparently it kind of works sometimes.
I mean, just breaks it up, right? And their body just has to take care of the pieces.
I mean, that's sort of the idea. But he explained the whole, like, anatomy of them. And, of course, I love anatomy, so I was super into it.
Yeah.
But also realized that I'd already pressed his buttons twice, so I didn't want to be like, tell me more, that's fascinating. I was just like nerd brain up inside, keeping it all to myself.
You know, there is something, like you wonder how many button pushes before you get any kind of reaction, one way or the other, you know, like anger or finally, you know, giving into the silliness.
And but when you're looking into the eyes of the man that may be doing surgery on your body in the future, you just, you kind of at some point are like, I'm just going to turn into a very proper adult right now.
One of my sons just told me he wants to be a surgeon.
What?
Yeah, he's
Which
just
one?
Decided. He said, I...
Oh, let me guess.
Okay.
Christian.
Nope.
Oh, I should have known better.
God help us all, no.
Well, what was interesting is I went to a particular center that was for bones and joints.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many different facets you can go to. And then there was, when I went into this particular office, all of the anatomy... paraphernalia that was in the room was all wrist related.
The anatomy paraphernalia.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, the best kind of paraphernalia, really. You know, if you go to an eye doctor, they have that weird, like, eye module set up where they can kind of take it apart and show you all the different pieces of an eye.
Right.
Or if you go to a lady doctor, it's always like the uterus and the ovaries.
Yes, my many trips to the lady doctor.
Well, I'm just letting you know. Do they have one at the penis doctor place?
The urologist?
Yeah, whatever his name is.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Did you get me something? Because that'd be weird.
No, but this episode is coming out like the day before Valentine's Day.
So my daughter came home with Valentine's cards. And she says, Mommy, I got a Valentine's Day card for you. And I was like, oh, my God, that's so sweet. My dog ate
Oh, no. Are you all of a sudden liking?
My dog ate it.
Oh.
My dog ate that Valentine card and all the other Valentine's cards that she was supposed to hand out to her friends.
Why?
Thanks,
dogs. Did they have candy on them? Like, why was your dog attracted to the Valentine's Day
cards? It was wrapped in a plastic bag. And they're like,
dogs love those plastic bags.
They're puppies. They just... Yeah. I'm sure it smelled interesting because it came from like her childcare provider's home. And every time Iris comes home from that childcare provider, she always smells really good. Like the lady must wear delicious perfume. So I'm assuming that maybe it had a nice scent to it. But anyway, yeah, I left the house to go find my husband's iPad that he had left on his car that had blown off of his car and we couldn't find it. And so I was driving his route to discover if it was OK. I came back to the house with a broken iPad. And then I
You did discover it.
I did.
And it was not okay.
Oh, no, it's dead. And then, like, all of the pieces of the Valentine's cards were, like, all over the floor. And I was like, man. And it was just a piece. She didn't even draw on it. It was literally just a piece of paper that she had printed off from a website and then cut out. And it just said, God is love on it with a little heart.
Sentiment.
So it's fine.
Cannot be it's eaten fine. By your pets.
That's right.
The sentiment is still there.
The story is my first Valentine's card my child ever gave me became dog poop. That's the story.
So does that confirm your hatred of Valentine's Day?
Yeah,
or are you
like
starting
it.
To open yourself up to
okay,
all the different kinds of love being celebrated on Valentine's
Day?
We
haven't done a BTS show on Valentine's Day before. So
right.
all of our friends in BTS land don't know how much I fucking hate Valentine's Day. Guys,
that's right.
It's the worst. It is the worst day. I've never had a good Valentine's Day, although they are getting a little bit better because now we go out to dinner as a family because my husband knows I hate it so much.
Right.
That like, you know, he would take me out every Valentine's Day. I've never had a happy Valentine's Day. Like one of our married Valentine's Days where we went out to a really fancy dinner that cost like $100-something for us to eat at this fancy restaurant.
Yeah.
We were deciding if we were going to divorce or stay together. Like my Valentine's Day blow. They just blow. They're never good. So now we do it as a family. We take Iris somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of fun. Like, hey, let's just do something as a family.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Let's avoid talking about like what we're supposed to be in this culture of love. Blah, blah, blah.
Didn't you get stalked on Valentine's Day once?
I had a stalker one year that I had to deal with. I threw flowers on the ground and was like, leave me alone. Which I think I threw them in the back of my car. Anyway, yeah, it's just weird.
Get it through your head, and then all the while, movies and television are telling him just keep pursuing her.
Yeah,
just keep going.
Eventually,
this is the story. Eventually, she gives in.
They
and
say
you
no.
Fall in love and have marriage and have all the babies.
That's right, because that's the best kind of love is when you're relentless and they're just like, I guess you're the best I'll ever do.
That's right.
That's love. Relationships are hard.
Yeah, they are.
Valentine's Day, I like if it was celebrating love. Amongst people and not like celebrating relationships and having to be with someone. And if you're not with someone that you're like on the outskirts, I think I'd be okay with it. But then like our culture has turned it into this buy a stuffed animal that has a heart on it for somebody.
Yeah.
Get them candy.
Yep.
For, you know, tell them that you like them on this day. But you know, Valentine's Day is really special for some people. People get married on Valentine's Day. They get engaged on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't want to, my opinion is my opinion. I don't like it.
I don't mind there being a day to honor something that's important to people. I think what I mind is the fact that we kind of use it as a, not as an excuse necessarily, but even a subliminal reason not to treat the rest of the year to celebrate that thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of one of those things. I'd much rather be in a marriage or a relationship where, you know, every day we're trying to figure out how to love each other better.
What if
then once a year I buy flowers?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Or,
like, that doesn't...
like, or what if Valentine's Day was figuring out a way to love somebody or something or organization or that you don't normally think about loving? Like,
right.
go show love in a way to something that you're not used to doing.
It's just become
go
such
volunteer
a,
somewhere or make it, a donation or something that I don't know.
Yeah, it can turn into everybody pair up now. You better have mm-hmm. your pair this day. Yeah. You know, it's just like,
well, and then like, you know, Iris is handing out Valentine's Day cards. I'm just like, ew, that's icky. You know, but then it's just something fun to do when you're a kid.
Right.
You
like
know?
You're dealing see, this is the parenting thing where it's like your philosophical beliefs come into combat with your child's upbringing and the fact that all their friends are doing these fun things. And
well, I remember having Valentine's cards and like creating like the paper mache big old things when I was a kid and having a good time with that. But there was also just, I remember the pressure of hoping that people would give me Valentine's cards and that, like, you would go to school with 14, but you don't have, you have more than that in your class. And then you're like, you'd find out whose favorite you were.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I hate that.
Yeah, no, it's the worst.
I'm getting so angry. I'm listening to this really great show right now. It's like on this YouTube channel, Dimension 20 or something. And it's like, mm-hmm. it's called Fantasy High. It's another Dungeons and Dragons show that people have been telling me to go watch or listen to the podcast for a long time. And I finally am doing it.
It's got to be the not the worst, but you'll know what I mean. The worst to be a Dungeons and Dragons show fan person, because when people recommend a new show to you, it's literally months
before I can
of
get to
continued
it.
Watching.
Oh no, no,
to
no,
catch
yeah,
up
yeah, yeah,
on
yeah.
it. You know what I mean? Like, those, like each episode is 7 hours long.
That's not true. They're not all like that, but they're all about an hour. It's like catching up on a TV show.
Well, a TV show that, you know, has been running for 40 seasons, maybe.
Well,
but
this one, okay, so the ones I've been like binging are where it's been like within the last year.
Yeah.
So we're talking about 52 something episodes.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's still a
and
lot
each
of time.
Episode is 20 hours long. And
okay, Aaron. But anyways, I'm super animated because this particular Dungeon Master, he does fantastic voices. Oh my God.
Oh, that's fun.
Like he is so brilliantly fun to listen to.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, they're in the middle of this fight right now. And I'm like, oh, it's so fun. And they do a really good production, too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You showed me a little bit of
Critical Role.
You showed me a little bit of Critical Role, which I think is, if not the most popular, one of the most popular mm-hmm. in the genre.
Yeah.
And I was entertained. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, there was this one particular scene I wanted to see.
You had to sit me down and kind of give me the backstory.
I gave you a little bit of stuff to get to make sure that you understood the context, and then you probably watched
but I totally
15
get it.
Minutes of it.
Yeah, I totally get it. Like, I still don't think it's segment. For me, but I totally get it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just watching fun. That, I was like, oh, I get this. This is fun. This combines so much of what I love about improv.
Yeah.
It combines so much of what I love about sports mm-hmm. because the outcome is not determined.
Well,
so there is this element of who's going to win, what's going to, you know, the dice roll. There is a competition. There is a game part to mm-hmm. it, which is really, you know, mm-hmm. I get that. So I understand.
Yeah.
It's fun.
So let's play Dungeons and Dragons then.